It's 2-2.
Trace Leches.
All right. We're ready to praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Well, welcome, all of us that are here and anybody that's online. We got a couple of praise songs tonight, and then got a... little as much for a suggested pick of him, unless anybody else has one. Maybe we can sing too. Who knows? Well, praise the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy, the sacrifices of joy. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Yes, He is. Yeah. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has come. sound, a song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane that I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my hands. I lift up my hands to the Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. Singing, I love you, Lord. I love you. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, let me see if I can find little as much. I don't know if we have the lyrics in the hymnal or not.
I don't think they're in
the hymnal. Okay. H-I-J-K-L-I. Yeah, or me too, because I don't remember either. Yeah, I don't see. Oh, yeah, little as much when God is in it. 661. Okay. All righty. In the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Does the place you're called to labor seem so small and little known? It is great if God is in it, and he'll not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. When the conflict here is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child, well done. And little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else got one? Going once, going twice. I don't know. It sounds official. None for tonight. Okay, I almost thought you was looking. Bible, not the hymnal. Praise the Lord.
Online, good to have you with us tonight. Those of you here with us tonight, good to see you. Do we have any praises or testimonies? Any praises or testimonies? Okay. Sharon wiggled the praise. Is Sharon wiggled the big toe today? Amen. Sharon, moving them toes. Okay, coming to Tomball for therapy. All right, good for her. Very good. Very, very good. Other praises. Anybody else? Was it really? Packed out, huh? Oh, yeah. No eggs at Kroger? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. We bought an extra dozen at HEB last night. I guess so. All right. So get your shopping done. Yeah. Yeah, ASAP. Amen. All right, anything online? Any praises online? All right, prayer requests. Yeah, Tessa. Oh, I think they want you on the mic. Yep. Nobody can hear you online. Church has changed, brother. You got to be on the mic. Yeah, half the people are home, half the people are here.
Need to get them people at home here.
Yeah, come on. All right, Tessa.
Okay. Tessa.
Fell into a pond.
Tessa's mom, Amanda, and Ethan's father. You know, they're still worried about the little girl, and they're doing tests on her. But everything looks good. You know, she sucks her thumb a lot. So she did start sucking her thumb again.
Yeah.
And doing little things like that. So anyway, Kathy said the mother's still.
How old was she, two?
2 years old.
2 years old.
You know what I mean? Yeah, it's just, they're so scared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and when something like that happens, just a second, you take your eyes off a child. If you got a pool or a pond, you know, you got to always keep your eyes
right
on them. But anyway, they still want us to pray for them.
Amen.
But really, I tell you, it sounds like to me Amanda really needs prayer because she's still a little bit uneased and just,
yeah.
But she's giving God all the glory. If everything that little girl does, she's. She just gives the glory to God.
And the dad's know. Name, Amanda and?
Eaton is his father's name. Eaton.
Eaton.
Yeah. I don't know the last name. Kathy didn't know. Just know the.
Okay. Amanda and Eaton.
Yeah. And then I want to lift up Robert Hester. That's my daughter's father-in-law.
Okay.
You know, he had got put in the home.
Right.
And he's away from family now. And I know Robert. He wants to be home. I met him a few times, and so pray for him, for his peace of mind, and that's all I got.
All right, amen, man.
I'll pray for him.
Robert Hester. All right.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up this young lady, Amanda.
Yes.
And Eaton. They're still worried about their little daughter. Just want to make sure she gets all her little things she used to do working, and you know they got tests to do, so mm-hmm. She's going to go have her little brain checked, I guess you might see how the brain works.
Yep.
And everything like that. But they're worried about it. So still, but everything's good. God is taking, you know, God's got Testa. We just pray for Amanda and Ethan. God's going to take care of Testa. I believe that in all my heart. And I pray for my daughter's father-in-law, Robert, Hester, as he's been, he's away from home. They put him in a home, Lord, and he's just wants to go back home. And I just pray that he gets well enough. He'll just put a hand, your touching hand on him. Maybe he gets to come back home with family. And I lift these all up to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Any other prayer needs? All right. Bobby's got one back there. Oh, yeah, that would sound lovely. Yeah, that would be a big noise. That would be a big noise.
That would be a big noise. Hot mic.
Hot mic.
All right, I mentioned these prayer requests the other day about my brother-in-law, Travis, and his wife, Pat. Bad news, Pat does not have bacterial pneumonia. She tested positive for COVID.
COVID.
And she has blood clots in her lungs, and she is on a ventilator now.
Okay.
And Travis, her husband, he is still sedated, and his foot is officially dead.
Oh, my.
So they are going to have to take the leg, but they don't know when that's going to be. Probably the soonest is probably going to be Friday.
And what was the cause of all this? Was it
COVID?
COVID. Yeah.
That started the whole thing. So I would like to lift them up and their kids. And
so
it's a joined family.
They're going to take the whole leg, you think?
I'm not sure how much they're going to take. That's all she said was the leg is, you know, is scheduled for surgery.
Okay.
So I'd like to lift that up.
All right, brother.
Father God, I come to you, Lord, just humbling myself before you, Lord, and just asking, Lord, just to forgive me for my sins, Lord, and just
yes.
Help me, Lord, just to be strong and be faithful to you. And, Lord, I lift up Travis and Pat, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, even though my wife is going to be gone 15 years this year.
Wow.
They're still my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. And, Lord, they're suffering with COVID. Mm. Pat is on a ventilator. And Travis is probably going to have to have his leg amputated, and they're both still sedated and on ventilators, and you know the whole situation. But Lord, I just lift up both the families, Lord, that have joined together there to become one family, and I just pray for peace and comfort and a love that only you can give, and I pray for healing in their lives. And Lord, the most important thing is I pray for your will be done in this situation. Mm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wow. What hospital are they in? Are they both at where?
Kingwood.
They both in the same hospital? She's in Conroe, he's in Kingwood. Wow. My goodness. All right. Anything else? Any other prayer needs? Pray for John, Fran's husband. Yeah, you want to lift Big John up? I cannot remember their last name. Remember John and Fran? They came here a time. There was a group of them came from a charismatic church that folded up the road heading to the Renaissance Festival, and they were here with us for a while. And Big John. Yeah. Yeah. She had breast cancer that came back, and it finally got her. You think she passed when, John? When do you think she passed? Yeah. Okay. So we want to pray for John and his family as they make preparations, I guess, for a funeral for her. So, all right. You want to lift them up, Brother John?
Yep.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you, Lord, for the blessings that you've given us, Lord. Thanking you, Lord, that we have the opportunity to gather together in your name, Lord, and
lift
these wishes up to you, Lord. We know that, Lord, you're in charge, you're in control, Lord. We know that you have a reason for situations that happen in our lives, Lord. But we ask us to be obedient, Lord, and praise you for what you will do, Lord. So we're asking that you spread the comfort around the family of John and Fran, Lord, and be with them during this time of need, Lord. But, Lord, we know that we're all going to a place of joy, of happiness, of love, of freedom, and being with you, Lord, if we know you, Lord. Mm. And, Lord, we thank you for that, Lord. So, Lord, maybe in the midst of this funeral, if there's somebody, Lord, that does not know you, that
yes.
might be the day, Lord, that they will come to know you as their personal Savior, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you that you give us the opportunity to lift these names up to you. Be with our pastor as he brings the word this evening, Lord, and continue to protect him and the family, Lord. Be us as we use common sense and wisdom, Lord, during this cold weather that we got
yes.
coming up, Lord, that we buckle up and stay at home, maybe, instead of buckling up and being on the road, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you that we had a roof over our head and food in our refrigerator, Lord. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask that you watch over us and guide us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, amen. All right, anything else?
Pray for Ronnie.
Oh, okay. Amen.
Where's Ronnie at? He's on the road. All right, I lift him up. All right. Dearly Father, we just lift up Ronnie to you as he's had to go back to work and, you know, in this union thing with Kroger's, Lord, and we just ask you to give him a rest tonight and just a peace of mind and just watch over him and just watch over Anita as she goes back home. Alita, as she goes back home tonight, just put a hedge of protection around her, Lord, and to get her back home tonight.
Yes.
And, God, we just pray for her back to heal up. The pain in her back is really bothering Alita, Lord, and just give her some kind of ease and peace and rest and something for the pain. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay, anything else tonight? All right, well, I guess we can praise the Lord for the COVID numbers are coming down, certainly in the Houston area. They're not coming down so much in the Dallas area. You still can't get in a hospital in Dallas. I guess I'll be the last prayer request, and I'll lift my dad up, I guess. My dad was, let's see here, today is Wednesday, so he went to the hospital on Monday. Mom tried to put a protective boot on his foot because he rubs those heels back and forth on the sheets because he's been in bed so long, and he irritates those heels and gets those bed sores going on the heels. So she went to put one of those boots on him, and she touched his leg, and he just started screaming out in pain. She's like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" Well, she pulled his, you know, his little thing he wears in bed, a little bed dress up, and his hip that he'd had replaced was completely dislocated. So she called the veterans to come get him, and so veterans came out with their ambulance and picked him up. And I got a call yesterday morning about 5 o'clock by the time I was getting up. They were letting me know that they'd had a problem with him, and they thought he had a heart attack. And so they didn't know that he had a DNR, and so they put him on a vent. And so now he's on a vent, and then push come to shove, we find out it wasn't a heart attack. Because I went up there, I think, 3 years ago. He had a heart cath, and his heart arteries were as clean as a whistle at 70-whatever years old. And so I was kind of taken back when they said heart attack. But anyway, they think now he's had a stroke, but they did that brainwave test today, and he's got brainwaves, and so that DNR that he had signed is no go. Once they go through all the heroic measures and the body and heart's going again, it's a whole new ball game. So now Mom will have to be the one to decide or whatever. So no, he's still on the vent. Yeah, he's still on the vent. If they can get him off of vent, you know, for him to have any kind of even be bedridden, they'll have to do surgery on that hip. So we don't know if he'll make the surgery or how long he'll be on the vent. I mean, it's just kind of a tough deal. But lift up Louise, because she's the one who's going to have to make the big decision now. So Louise, yes. Yeah, y'all join me as we pray for her. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we lift that situation up in Dallas. We are thankful for the Veterans Hospital and
Lord, they didn't know that there was a DNR, and so they just did what they know to do, and we're thankful for them and that staff. And Lord, we pray you'd protect that staff up there, the nurses and the doctors and all the folks that help up there. Watch over that Veterans Hospital and be with them, Lord. We pray for my dad. We pray that your perfect will be done in his life. Lord, if it be thy will that he get off that vent and have that hip surgery, Lord, we just pray that. And Lord, if it be your will that you just call him on home, God, we pray you give mom the strength to let that go and make that decision and do what she needs to do on her end to get ready for that. But Lord, we're thankful for Bob's salvation. We know he's heading to a better place one day, whatever that day may be. But God, we just pray that in the midst of that induced coma, that he not experience any kind of pain or discomfort, and that, Lord, you comfort him in his thoughts and his rest as he's under the sedation of being on that ventilator. So, Lord, we lift that situation up to you, and we praise you for your love and your grace. Give him the grace, and give my mother the grace to go through what they have to go through right now. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. All right, well, let's take our Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 18. We begin a new chapter tonight, Revelation 18. We're going to start it off here in verse 1, and we'll read it through about verse 8. Revelation 18, and we'll read 1 through 8. Revelation 18. All right, we got any more online with us? All right, good deal. All right, online folks, Revelation 18, beginning in verse 1. Word of God reads this. It says, "And thee, or after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. He cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, and the cup which she has mixed twice as much for her. Mixed twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your holy and inerrant word. We pray that you might lead us and guide us as we introduce this chapter and go through a few verses tonight. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the assurity, we have the confidence that you're coming back. And Lord, we know we're getting a day closer. Whatever day you do come back, Lord, we know we're another day closer to it now. So we praise you and we thank you for that. It's in your name we pray. And God's people said, amen. All right, thank you all for standing. And we'll get on down the road here. We're talking about now, if 17 was about the false religion dying and being absorbed into the Antichrist cult, okay, chapter 18 is about the economic end of it, all right, the economic end of it. We begin this evening starting essentially the last chapter in a section of Scripture in Revelation that deals with nothing but judgment, all right? We have been talking about judgment for a long, long time. Nowhere in Scripture is there a more detailed description of the coming judgment than in Revelation chapter 6, when we started all this, all the way through chapter 18. We're about to end it and then get on to chapter 19, which is the really good stuff. These chapters that we have looked at in detail describe the future 7-year period known as the tribulation, right? Now, you'll remember that during this tribulation time that the world has undergone 3 sets of judgments. We've talked about them in detail. It's undergone the seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and what we just got through finishing up in chapter 16, the bowl judgments. Now, although those judgments will be worldwide in scope, they will focus particularly on Antichrist's world empire of Babylon. Now, that empire will involve both a religious and a commercial aspect. The last chapter, 17, was dealing with a religious aspect of it. Chapter 18 is dealing with a commercial aspect of it. So for your review, at the midpoint of the tribulation, Antichrist will destroy the false Babylonian religious system, which will be absorbed into the what? It'll be absorbed into commercial Babylon. Now, as we studied in chapter 17, religion will not cease to exist, but will be restricted to the worship of one being, the Antichrist. Everybody will be forced to worship him. In this Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 24, the Babylon in view is Antichrist's worldwide commercial empire, which will rule the world during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation that we call the Great Tribulation. What is incredibly remarkable is that Antichrist will be able to build the greatest commercial empire the world has ever known. Amazon will not compare to it. eBay and Amazon, and you talk about any other company, Walmart, that put all those together. Nothing will compare to what he's going to build in the midst of all of the judgments that are happening. Amen? It's going to be an incredible commercial empire in the midst of the devastating judgments of the tribulation. And so although Antichrist builds this economic powerhouse, God, no doubt, as the Word tells us, will destroy the commercial aspect of the Babylonian Empire, which is the theme of this chapter that we're looking at. The praise the Lord in all of this is that with the destruction of the last and greatest human empire inspired by Satan, the stage will now be set for the triumphant return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're in this huge parenthetical section, right? 17 and 18, kind of a parenthesis. And we're basically dealing with what is happening as those bowls are being poured out, okay? The Apostle John, the angels, by God's sovereign will, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is allowing John to see the effects of those bowl judgments in these 2 chapters before we go on to really get into the second coming of Christ. Amen? Make sense? All right. We know specifically from the chapter that we are about to study in depth that Babylon is most likely an actual city. It is called a city 5 times in the chapter. Now, we didn't read it in the first 8 verses, but when you hit verse 10, you hear it. When you get to verse 16, you hear it. When you get to verse 18, it says city again. Verse 19 speaks of the city. And verse 21, along with other features in the text that imply that it is a literal city, that is what we're looking at. But while Babylon will be an actual city, this city's influence will be further than the geographical city limits, for Babylon's influence will be a worldwide deal. As Antichrist's capital city, it will be the hub of and represent his commercial empire. Thus, the judgment and destruction of Babylon will kill the head. It'll cut the head off, and the rest of the body of Antichrist's whole worldwide empire will follow in a very successive and quick death. Now, for your review, Babylon will have received at this time, they will have already received plenty of warnings of the impending doom to come. We have already covered and seen in the Scriptures the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. We have already covered and seen in the Scriptures, talked about the two witnesses. We have already looked and preached on the rest of the redeemed that are saved. We've talked about the angel flying in mid-heaven. Corporately, all of them together, you take all of them together, and they will have proclaimed the gospel message over and over and over again. And that message includes the truth that God will judge those who refuse to repent. Amen? Now, in addition, earlier in the tribulation, an angel specifically warned of Babylon's impending doom, crying out in chapter 14, verse 18. And this is kind of a literary technique in the book of Revelation. For you read in Revelation 14, 18, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality." John the Revelator was so sure of the fall that he writes about the fall as it has already happened, which it has not. It's happening here in chapter 18. The angel spoke of Babylon's yet future fall as if it had already happened, emphasizing the certainty of its doom. But despite the repeated warnings, the people of the world will refuse to repent. Over and over again, they have an opportunity. Over and over again, they hear the message. Over and over again, some of these folks will not take the gospel. They will cling to the Antichrist. And then, so God's judgment will do what? God's judgment will fall on Babylon. So as we begin looking at verses 1 through 8, we're thinking about tonight basically the theme of a system that is corrupted to the core. That's the theme of verses 1 through 8. A system of commerce, a system, an empire, if you will, a system, a materialistic system that is corrupted to the core. Now, we're moving from the destruction of what? Again, the false religion of Babylon to the destruction of the economic center of Babylon. And we're beginning, here in verse 1, we're beginning a new vision for John. In Revelation chapter 18, 1, after these things, I saw another angel. In Revelation, when we see that phrase, after these things in 18, 1, it marks the beginning of a new vision. As the new vision opened, John saw another angel distinct from the one that he saw in 17, 1. Now, what scholars think, and I tend to agree with, this angel may be the one who earlier predicted Babylon's downfall, which we read in 14:8. Probably the same angel. Three features in the text reveal this angel's unusual power and importance. First, he came down from heaven with great authority. He left the presence of God with delegated authority to act on God's behalf. Second, when he arrived, the earth was illumined with his glory. Now, we understand this to be from God, God's glory on him. He will make his dramatic appearance onto a darkened stage. How do we know that? The fifth bowl will have plunged the world into darkness, per Revelation 16:10. So manifesting the flashing brilliance of a glorious heavenly being against the blackness, the angel will be an awe-inspiring sight to the shocked and terrified earth dwellers who've rejected the gospel. Third, we're talking about three features in this text that reveal this angel's unusual power. Third, verse 2 tells us, the angel cried out with a mighty voice. No one will be able to ignore him. Kind of like the angel in mid-heaven. No one will be able to ignore him. Everyone will hear him as well as see him. His message will add to the anxiety and the terror caused by his appearance. And so, What basically do we have here in these first eight verses? We have a system corrupted to the core. And we see the beginning of the judgment predicted in 14:8. We see that it's now being carried out. A comparison of this passage with 16:17 through 19 suggests that this judgment takes place when the seventh bowl is poured out. So let's look at 16:17 through 19. The Word of God reads, "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne saying, 'It is done.' And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and there was a great earthquake such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath." And that's what we're reading about now in chapter 18, the cup of his fierce wrath. So, a system corrupted to the core. We see beginning in verse 2, we see the spirit of this system. If you look at verse 2, "And he cried out with a mighty voice, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird.'" The spirit of this system. The angel tells us about the spirit behind the system. This great economic system is energized and controlled by demons and evil spirits. Now, I cannot stress to you, when you read this and study this, how vile and corrupt this place will be. We look at our world today and we think, man, how can it get any worse, right? We look at our world and we think, police officers can't even get out of their car before they're killed sitting in the driver's seat of their vehicle. They're getting run over. They're getting shot down. They're getting shot in their vehicle. We look at the world today and we think that it cannot get much worse. But what this verse describes, what we read here in chapter 18, is that this world is literally going to go to the devil. This world is literally going to go to the devil. Things can get worse. And by this passage, at the end of the seven-year tribulation, things will have gotten much worse. Babylon gets judged to destruction because of their pervasive demonic activity that we read about at the second half of verse 2 of chapter 18. Now, for your review, the vicinity of Babylon was where 200 million formerly bound demons were released at the sounding of the sixth trumpet. That's in Revelation 9, 13 through 16. They, along with the demons released from the abyss at the sounding of the fifth trumpet in Revelation 9, 1 through 11, with those cast from heaven with Satan that we read about in chapter 12, verse 4 and chapter 12, verse 9, and then you've got demons that are already here on the earth before any of them get let go or cast out, those are all going to be confined to the geographical location of Babylon. That's what the Scriptures say. So we see a concerted effort by the sovereignty of God, by the power of God, we see a concerted effort on God's part to gather all these evil players, all these evil actors to one geographical spot before He disposes of them. God's not going to be looking for anybody. They're going to be right where He wants them when He gets ready to snuff them out and send them to the abyss. Babylon will also be a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. When that poor little doe was back behind our back fence, and she was swelling up with the heat of the day, and the school district wouldn't come and clean her out and get her out of there, and she stinketh. And my next door neighbor, he was having a portico built in his back and in his backyard, and I felt so sorry for the guys that were out there working on it. And the guy living across the street from me in the cul-de-sac the way the wind was blowing, he could smell it as he was coming in and out of his front door. And the vultures, I cannot tell you the vultures on top of my house and on top of my neighbor's house and on top of my neighbor's house this way and flying all around, looking, couldn't see it, could smell it, but couldn't see it for the tree canopy. Oh, man, it was awful. Those, have you ever seen a group of buzzards go after a dead squirrel or a dead this or a dead that? Boy, they are not polite, are they? I mean, it's everybody for themselves, right? I mean, when they're going after those dead carcasses, that's the vision, like a grotesque carrion birds going after a dead carcass. That's the vision that the Revelator and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That's the view of the demons. They will hover. They will be entrapped over this doomed city waiting for its fall. The depiction of the demons as unclean and hateful reflects heaven's view of them. So we see the spirit of the system in verse 2. And as we try to close it out tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about the seduction of the system. Verse 3. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. Now you say, well, how can commerce be sensual, and how can commerce be immoral? Well, it can. I mean, you see a little bit of it with all this business going on in the West Coast, you know, and they can't get these piggyback tractors to put underneath these container things, and they had all these ships backed up, and they've got all this backlog of commerce and goods trying to come in from China, and it's driven the prices up. The prices, it's okay to charge, you know, it's okay for somebody in business to make a living, right? But remember when it's time to evacuate for a hurricane and they do the contraflow and you go into one of these gas stations and you're trying to get some water for your little baby so you can make some formula for it, and a case of water is $40, right? And they're price gouging on the fuel. That's obscene and immoral, right? That's what's going on here, but on a much grander scale, right? I mean, people over here on the eastern seaboard are waiting for their goods, having to pay storage for their goods, and it's not even their fault that they can't get their goods, but they got to pay storage on their goods, right? And so it jacks up everybody's prices, right? Well, just imagine that 100-fold, right? And it just keeps on keeping on, right? The Babylonian system will seduce the entire world. Kings and merchants will all tie their futures to what happens in this economic boom. It's going to be a huge boom for some, and for most, they're going to be what? The living, the working, the dying poor, right? Billions of dollars will be made as the wealthy people of the earth give everything they have to get their hands on all they can get. Now, what kind of a world do we live in today? I mean, this shouldn't be a big stretch for us to think about what's coming in chapter 18. What kind of a world do we live in today? We live in a world obsessed with money. I mean, literally obsessed with it. How many on a weekly basis, and I guarantee you there'd be some in this church, how many on a weekly basis buy those lottery tickets, right? Buy those lottery tickets, sitting around pondering, imagining what they would do if they won the big lottery payouts of millions and millions of dollars. I think I think you're more likely to be struck and die by lightning than win the lottery. Those are your odds. Be bit by a shark on dry land. That's pretty good. How many are spending money that they do not have buying said lottery tickets in an attempt to try and get rich quick, man? How many always have some scheme cooking in their head that they think will make them rich? I've met people like that before. They always work in some kind of angle, some kind of sales scam, some kind of pyramid scheme. They in on the latest deal. Would you like to get in on it? No, that's okay. I think I'll pass. I've got all the Tupperware and all the this and that I ever want. Amen? Right? The love of money is the greatest corrupter of mankind ever conceived. 1 Timothy chapter 6, 10. Money in itself is not evil. Amen? But when a person loves money to the point that it controls their life and lifestyle, it becomes an evil thing. Babylon also gets judged to destruction because of wretched sensuality with this love of money. Antichrist's evil religious and commercial empire will spread its hellish influence to all the nations of the world. This guy with the, I don't know, some of you may watch the TBN network. These guys, I could not believe it. This, what was his name? Marcus Lamb, I believe his name. Did you hear about Marcus Lamb? Marcus Lamb. Marcus and Joni Lamb. Daystar. This guy, my soul. He died of COVID. He was against the vaccines and all that jazz. But that's not the point I'm trying to make. That dude had amassed, are you ready for this? He left that widow, are you ready? $55 million. He left her $55 million. Yeah. Religious guy. Church guy. $55 million. Wow. Wow. She's going to have trouble spending that money, ain't she? Yeah. The religious and commercial, we talked last week about, and I'm not trying to be mean to the Catholic Church, but I'm just telling you, they are a machine, man. Money beyond the Muslims here in America, they are backed by a huge financial machine. Religion and this commercial empire, it will spread a hellish influence to all the nations of the world. Still with me? We're almost through. Having drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, the people of the world will fall into a religious and materialistic stupor. We see the beginnings of that already in our time. Hey, man, the church is about you getting what you deserve, right? How to have your best life now, right? The name it and claim it prosperity gospel. It's going to be an easy pivot from that to what's going on here. An easy pivot, an easy move from that to what's going on here in chapter 18. The unregenerate people of the world will lust for Babylon, passionately desiring to commit acts of spiritual immorality with her. Likewise, the merchants of the earth will have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. In the beginning, the world will cash in on Babylon's financial prosperity. Can you believe we've got all these catastrophes going on in the world? We've got all this destruction happening around the world. But this Antichrist guy, he has got the Midas touch. Man, everything he touches and every decision he makes, I mean, it's just happening here in Babylon, and the fingers of it go out across all around the world. You know, we're sitting pretty good with it in spite of everything. That will be their mantra for about 3.5 years until the bill comes ready to pay. And God, who owns the deed, Jesus, who owns the deed to all of this, he's going to come to collect. He's going to come to collect, right? In the beginning, the world will cash in on Babylon's financial prosperity. Having thrown off any semblance of self-control or self-restraint, sinners will indulge in a wild, materialistic orgy. And you know, you think about what's going on in a lot of baby boomers' lives, right? A lot of baby boomers. World War II, we call them one of the greatest generations that our country has ever produced. And then their children, the boomers, right? And now they're coming to retirement. And how do boomers think, right? They came back from World War II, let's have a family, you know, let's have a little house, let's live in a subdivision. And that materialism just kind of took off. And so boomers tend to think of, he who has the most toys wins. He who has the most toys wins. The biggest RV, the most motorcycles, the largest house, the second home, right? I've met them. I've met them, man, I'm telling you. I'll end with this. What's going on in chapter 18 is nothing new. We can go back to the Bible and the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Now, not on the scale of what's going on in chapter 18, but certainly the same theme of what's going on in chapter 18. And I'll just condense it for you because we don't have time to read all 30 verses. But in ancient Babylon, when Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, took the golden vessels, he had taken the golden vessels, he'd removed those from the temple, out of Yahweh, God, Jehovah's temple. He had taken the golden vessels. His father, Nebuchadnezzar, had actually removed them, but Nebuchadnezzar wasn't abusing them. But Belshazzar took these utensils. He took these vessels. And with great pride, he decided to disgrace them. So he was having a big party for his nobles, for his countrymen, for his concubines. I mean, to be invited to this party of Belshazzar was a big deal. And he was having these folks that are non-Jewish, non-believers of Yahweh, and non-followers of the one true God, he was having them party with these vessels and get drunk with these vessels and have their orgies with these vessels. And about that time, something happened. A hand appeared writing on the wall, right? And he became very entrenched with what was being written on the wall. And he got all of his men that he thought could interpret that. Was, they couldn't interpret it. But one guy could, Daniel, right? And Daniel gave him the bad news, right? And even in the midst of getting the bad news, he put on Daniel the robe and he made him third in command and blah, 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 blah. And that night, Belshazzar's king was taken from him and given to, who was it given to? Given to the Medes and the Persians. Amen? The bill always comes due. Amen? Amen. Well, it's coming due for the world, and we'll end it there in verse 3. Amen? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Well, what I've kind of thought all along is that there's still going to be some kind of underground, right? There's going to be some kind of underground. Just like there's always been, you know, people sneak under the radar and make the moonshine and bootleg, you know, there's going to be people underneath the radar and in the, you know, doing their trade and growing their this and helping out with that, and there will be a remnant, a saved group of folks, and it's going to be something. Amen? All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Online folks, good to have you tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word, Lord. We continue on with our study, and Lord, we're thankful that we were able to get thus far. Lord, we pray that you just help us as we go forward and we look at the verses further into this first section. We just pray you give us understanding. And Lord, you just help us receive it and learn it. And Lord, build out our understanding of the last days so that we have an assurity. We have an unshakable assurity, an incredible confidence. We know that we know that you're coming back. Coming back. Lord, we want to think about your second coming every single day. You could come back today. We praise you and thank you for that. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, Amen. All right, folks. Good night.